Good morning, church. It's good to see your smiling faces. It's good to hear your chatter, the chatter of God's people. That's good stuff. Glad that you are with us this morning. Or should we, what do you think? Should we invite the Holy Spirit? Should the Holy Spirit be here with us? All right, let's do that. Pray with me. Father, I just let's pray that each one of us would just take a deep breath. We would relax in your presence. Pray that you would stir us today, God, that we would hear from you very directly, that you would stir our hearts deep. Show us again that you are God, that you are real, and that you love us. So send your Holy Spirit into this place. May our praises lift high the name that is above every name, Jesus. It's in that name we pray. Amen. So welcome again to our service. Welcome to our live stream worshipers. Rise if you are able. Let's worship.
Good morning. As he said, join us in worship.
I saw the light.
You may be seated for just one moment. Do you want me to go ahead and sit in, kids? I'm sorry. Children, you can meet Miss Teresa over there for Children's Church.
I told Brent in the early service if he'd get that little guitar and water it, it'd grow up into a full size. I don't know if he's going to do that or not. Billy and Carlene are getting some much-deserved R&R this weekend. So be praying to keep them safe. And they're having a family reunion outside. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's kind of hot out there. The Panama team made it back. Woo! You want to say anything? I didn't warn you. Do you want to say anything, Millie? Come on. See, it's better just to spontaneously, baby. Come on.
Yes, we had a very successful mission this year. Travel went smoothly. At the very beginning, the only thing when we got to the airport, we realized that I did not have my personal bag. So I went to Panama with literally nothing except the supplies. But that was actually a really cool experience because it was just kind of after I processed it. Everything that I needed was provided. I mean, there between a little market in Panama and the missionaries there, and it was just a reminder that, you know, we were where we were supposed to be, and everything was provided to us, and we were well cared for. We saw just under 400 people in 2.5 days. And the other cool thing, different from previous years, is that we usually see during the week, and we use the school as like a clinic. But we saw on a weekend, and so the school was not available to us. So we actually used a building really near the church that they have. And they had like a little church potluck where they cooked outside. I have some videos of it. I had a video prepared, but I didn't bring it.
Next week.
Next week I'll share it. But that was really cool because we really got to do more like kind of with the church. And a lot of people came in from really far and were able to go to the church service there while we were there. So that worked out really well. It was a great mission. Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Did you keep your husband in line? That was.
He forgot.
Oh. She was covering for you, bro. Oh my goodness. Well, here's what you do. Say, I'm not sure what I did, but whatever I did, I'm sorry. That's what you do. Okay. So thank you guys for supporting that Panama trip, and thank you guys for going and being the hands and feet of Jesus. So this Saturday, the men will have breakfast this Saturday at 7:30. And come and eat well and listen to a strong word from the Lord. And that will be happening this Saturday at 7:30. So as we go into a time of prayer this morning, I just wanted to kind of say this. We have a lot of people, really all the time, people that are struggling with their health and so on and so forth. So I don't want to minimize any of that, but I wanted this morning to Michael Wilkins. Mike, come on up, buddy. Mike is we're his church family. We're his family, and Mike this week will be heading up to the Metroplex. Coming down to you here in just a second, buddy. So he's coming to going to the Metroplex, and they will open up his chest, and they're going to put in what's called a heart pump, and which helps the heart do its work, and it's a lot more extensive than I can explain. But I know Michael's nervous about that. He's nervous about that, and I understand that. And I know many others here have got some medical things going on, maybe for you or maybe a loved one, somebody you care about. So we're going to pray for Mike, but I want to also, anyone else that that just needs a special touch physically this morning or wants to represent someone else with that need, come up here and join Michael. As you're coming up, y'all come on up. As you're coming up, I tell our staff this all the time, what a privilege it is to be entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love and the care and the mercy and the healing. Y'all huddle up around Michael, just all of you right up in there. We literally, as we touch a shoulder, yeah, come on up if you want to pray for Michael or anyone else up here. You know, as a hand touches a shoulder, it's the hand of Jesus, because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and so we are His ambassadors. And Lord, we just come to you. We just come to you. We know we have doctors and we have nurses and PAs and we have pharmaceuticals and we have all those things, and those are good things, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the healing they provide. But Father, we confess to you that you are the great physician. Nobody heals without you. It doesn't matter what medicine we inject or take orally. It doesn't matter what care is given. If you don't heal, it doesn't happen. And your word says that the leaders of the church, we should come and we should pray, and that pray for those that need healing, and that you would move. So Lord, we pray that for Michael, we pray for that for all those in this place, and even that would be listening, worshiping from their home or any other place, God, we pray if there's a special need, a physical need, we pray that you would meet it, that you would move. You are the God of compassion. You're the God that of peace. I pray, God, I know Michael's, he's nervous. He's anxious. I pray that a calmness from your spirit would fall on him, from the top of his head right down, just right down through his toe. Lord, that he would just feel that peace that transcends understanding. I pray, God, for this procedure, that it would be perfect. I pray, God, for long-term benefits, health benefits from this procedure, long-term. Lord, and all those who've come not only to pray for Michael, but also maybe have a need of their own, maybe have a loved one that they're praying for. God, we cry out to you. You're the God of peace. You're the God of comfort. Your peace transcends circumstances in our understanding. And we cry out to you because you love us. We pray now the prayer that you, Jesus, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As everybody's making their way back to their seat, I just want to remind you our giving options. We have boxes by each of the doors that you can place an offering in. We also, you can give through our app or through our website. Thank you so much for your financial faithfulness. It allows us to be indeed the hands and feet of Jesus.
Still got a reason to praise.
Once again, good morning. Glad that you are worshiping with us. If you're our guest this morning, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit we just sang to and about. If you are our guest, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe, and it says guest registration on it. I'd love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you at this end of the foyer at the end of the service. Have a free gift for our guests. Would love to meet you, so please come down and meet up with me. If you would turn to Psalm 23, we're going to read it together again. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You will pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We ask you now to speak. We ask you to speak, transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you were here last week, you heard the faux pas, sheepeth. Did anybody hear sheepeth last week? It's not sheepeth, we're still in the series, sheepish, going through Psalm 23. So we are in verse 3 today. The shepherd provides purpose. So, I told you the first week that when I preached this series several years ago, started getting the stuffed sheep, and then last week my smart aleck. Can I say you used to be my district superintendent? Is that you're retired now though? I can say you're a smart aleck, can't I? Gave me the bookmark that got me all messed up last week. You'll have to watch if you weren't here. You have to watch the video. But this week, actually at the end of last week, I got another gift. This Susie gave me, Susie Liddell, she gave me a children's book called Sheep Lost. Now, I'm not going to read you the whole book. But can I get an amen, Jim? Amen. I'm going to read the last two pages. Sheep up, sheep down, sheep lost, sheep found. Has a picture of Jesus with his sheep. Susie, thank you. I read that to my granddaughter this morning, by the way. She loved it. So the gifts just keep pouring in. I don't know. So we're going to focus on verse 3 today. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So David is, and we've talked about this, David is writing from his perspective. When he was a young man, he shepherded over his father's sheep. So he learned what it was like to be a shepherd caring for sheep. He saw what sheep, what they went through and all the different things it was to be a sheep. And so he's writing from this first perspective, first person perspective of the Lord is my shepherd. He understands that like sheep, David was like a sheep, and we are like sheep. So what can we learn? We're going to dive right in. What can we learn from this verse 3 about our good shepherd? Do you know Jesus? Then he's your good shepherd. If he's your Lord and Savior, he's your good shepherd. So what can we learn? The first thing is your good shepherd longs to restore you. He longs to restore you. He restores my soul, David writes in this beautiful psalm. The more I've learned more and more about sheep as I preach this series, there is a condition. Any of you raised sheep before? I know some have. We got some sheep herders in the crew. There is a condition that I've learned that sheep find themselves in, get themselves in, and it's called cast, C-A-S-T. And what that is, I didn't know this, if a sheep rolls over, you know, anybody got a dog, they like to roll over on their back and wiggle and scratch their back and all that stuff. If a sheep rolls over on his back, it is a death sentence. It is a death sentence. And if the shepherd finds a sheep in that condition, that condition is known as a cast sheep. What happens is when they roll over on their back, they can't roll back over. Gas builds up in the first stomach chamber, which is called the rumen. Y'all, am I impressing anybody yet? It builds up, and circulation is cut off to the legs. And cast sheep will die 100% of the time. There is no, you know, cure for being cast if you are a sheep. That is unless the shepherd finds them. The shepherd is always on the lookout for cast sheep. Anybody relating to that yet? Our good shepherd is always on the lookout for cast sheep. Amen. You and I, cast. But here's the other thing. So are predators. The shepherd is always on the lookout for cast sheep, and so are predators. Anybody relating to that? Our enemy, he's looking, it says he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I think you could also say he's looking for cast sheep. The shepherd longs to restore the cast sheep. You know, I've talked to you about the book that I've read that Phillips Keller. He talks about when he was raising sheep that he would every day, and usually more than once a day, he would go out into his pastures looking for cast sheep. And he said if it was hot, a cast sheep would only last a few hours before it would die. If it was cool, it might last a day. And he would go out in the pasture looking for cast sheep. And if he saw one across on the other side of the pasture, if he saw a cast sheep, he said, I would run to the cast sheep because I didn't know how long he had been there. Minutes could make the difference. He would run to the cast sheep and he would set the cast sheep back up on his feet. And the circulation was not quite working at first. And he said, I would very carefully and very compassionately set the sheep up, and I would begin to stroke his legs to help that circulation get back to his legs so he could stand on his own. He would care for that sheep. Anybody ever had that from the Lord? Where he sets you up and he's restored you. He longs to restore you. That's the kind of shepherd that we have. He's constantly looking for hurting people to restore. I don't know about you, church. That's good news to me. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And in one of my favorite verses, and I quote this often because it is very special in my own life, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Our good shepherd is constantly on the lookout for cast sheep. If you're feeling cast this morning, he wants to run to you. He wants to set you up on your feet. He wants to rub your legs and get that circulation going and restore you to health. That's the kind of Savior and good shepherd that we have. Church, that's good news. If I stop right there, that's good news. Something worth sharing. And then he goes on. The second point, your good shepherd leads you into righteous living. Once he has restored you, he doesn't leave you there. It says he leads us in the paths of righteousness. He knows that we need his guidance. We all, like sheep, Scripture tells us, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. So most, not always, but most of the time when we're cast, it's many times it's of our own doing. Yes? Not always, but many times. Sometimes it's just the brokenness of our world or someone else. But many times when we are cast, when we find ourselves on our back with no hope in sight, many times that's of our own doing. Jesus doesn't scold us. What would it be like if the shepherd ran out to see the cast sheep and stood over him and go, I told you. I told you not to lay over on your back. No, he sets him up and restores him. He leads us in paths of righteousness. Once he restores us, I told this story in the early service. Both of my daughters, when they were young, got lost one time. And if you ever had a parent ever had your children get lost, it's not a fun experience. We were at the state park with our youngest, she was still on a tricycle, so we're probably 2 or 3 years old. And we were out there with several families, and we had the whole back. If you've been out to the state park, the roads are going everywhere, and all in the back, we more or less just kind of dominated that back area and just blocked it off because there were so many families of ours together. And we put some vehicles, we blocked and said, you kids, there's about 10 kids. You kids can run, you can ride your bikes between these cars, back and forth. Have fun while the adults relaxed. And it got time for lunch or something, and we called the kids in and all of a sudden said, where's Jordan? Well, Jordan was a knucklehead then, and she hadn't outgrown it. I'm sorry, Jordan. Where's Jordan? Well, she was just with us. Well, she's not here now. And we looked from end to end of that little stretch we gave them. No Jordan. So we started looking, and I panicked. I thought, man, somebody's snatched her up. And I jumped in my truck and went to the front gate, and we were stopping every vehicle that was leaving, checking them. And Cheryl and others went off scurrying and found her, and Cheryl, saw Jordan down the road, a long way from where she was supposed to be. And as she's walking towards Jordan, Jordan's got her head down, and she's just pedaling. She had no clue where she was or where she's going, but she's going somewhere. And as her mom came to her, they looked up and they saw each other, and I think there were tears on both sides. Jordan, I know, busted out crying. She didn't know where she was going. Anybody ever been like that in life? I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm peddling, baby. I'm going somewhere. I don't think this is the right way. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. But Jesus, he sets us up. He sets us up, takes care of us, and then he leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads us in paths of righteousness. His moral and spiritual integrity. He wants us to be that sort of sheep. He wants us to do what is right in his eyes instead of what is right in our eyes. The right path is not always an easy path. It's not always an easy path. Righteousness, to walk in righteousness, doesn't mean perfection, but to try to walk out your life in righteousness calls for obedience, sacrifice, sometimes standing against the culture, sometimes standing against people in your life. I know when I got my act together, I was still working on getting it completely together, but when the Lord did a major work in my life in 1991, Cheryl and I, we ran around with some folks and all, and good people and all that, but we started saying no to some things. Hey, we're all getting together and doing this, and we knew this wasn't what the Lord wanted for us, and so, we're going to just hang out tonight. And over a period of time, the calls stopped, and some friendships were lost or certainly set aside. When he leads us in paths of righteousness, if we follow him in obedience, sometimes it's costly. It can cost us friendships, relationships, may cost us a job. Jesus says it this way, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The Lord, our good shepherd, he sets us up. He restores us. And he says, follow me. I'm going to lead you in paths of righteousness. Follow me. And we have to trust. I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, the defining moment was when the Lord restored me. When he set me up, then it's easy to want to follow a shepherd that does that. Don't you think that cast sheep? I don't know about sheep, but I would think once the shepherd sets you up, massages your leg, gets you back restored to health, and starts walking away, I'm pretty sure that sheep probably follows that shepherd. Like, hey, that's the guy that saved me. Anybody want to follow him because he saved you? Because he's restored you? It requires trusting the good shepherd, to trust him, to know he wants good things for you. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and he will make your paths straight. It doesn't mean that life will suddenly be easy and perfect and nothing ever bad happens, but he will make your path straight. He will guide you in a way that ultimately is a blessing. And then thirdly, what this verse, I believe, tells us, your righteous life brings glory to your good shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Not so we can, brag to our friends, hey, I'm righteous. Look at me, I'm righteous. No, it's not for that. It's for his name's sake. What does that mean? His name's sake, for his name's sake, it several times appears in the Bible. Psalm 106, David said, God save the Israelites for his name's sake to make his mighty power known. For his name's sake. Romans 1:5, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace. 1 John John said, I write to you, dear children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So what does that mean, for his name's sake? It means that our righteous ways will demonstrate who God is. It'll demonstrate and reflect his character, his nature, his faithfulness, and it will bring him glory. Man, that's it. I mean, that's the gospel right there in one verse. Is he restores us, and then he leads us in ways that will glorify him for his name's sake. God has a heart for the lost. He wants to restore us. And he wants the world to know him. And he wants us to lead them to him. I mentioned this earlier. Another one of my favorite passages, Luke 4. Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. That's his heart. He wants to restore your soul. He wants to set you upright. If you are cast, if you're feeling helpless, he wants to set you up to restore your soul. He wants to do it in a way that leads you in paths of righteousness and brings him glory. You know, as we partake of this meal, and we're talking about sheep, that we're sheep and Jesus is our good shepherd. But I'm also reminded that as John the Baptist is baptizing in the Jordan, people are coming to him for the repentance of sins, and he sees Jesus walking on the bank, what does he say? Hey, look there. Behold, it's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, our good shepherd, became a lamb like us for the purpose of setting us free, setting us upright to restore our soul. And he did it through his broken body. And through his shed blood. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, we are so humbled that you have indeed, you became a sheep like us. But you didn't go your own way. No, you said, Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. You became obedient even to death. You allowed your body to be broken and your blood to be spilled so that we wouldn't be cast anymore. May this bread and this cup be for us the body and blood of Jesus. I pray blessing on them for all those that partake of it this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'll give you further invitation in just a moment. If those who are serving and will come. So Christ our Lord invites to his table. It's the Lord's table. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you repent of your sins, you are welcome to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You can come. These two stations here and these two stations over here, you'll be given a piece of bread. Dip the bread into the cup and partake in that way. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center and go ahead and return to your seat to partake in that and discard your empty as you leave today. Jesus died, saves us from being cast. He is the Good Shepherd.
His perfect love.
Attention last week that I let y'all out of here without your homework last week. One honest person called me out on that. It's in your bulletin in the insert, but I'm going to go over it real quick to memorize. Hopefully you've memorized the first two verses of Psalm 23. Memorize verse 3. Begin each day thanking God for restoring your soul, for setting you up. If you're cast, we're all cast. And ask God to lead you in His righteous path, and each day ask if He has been glorified through your actions that day. That's your homework. It's on your insert. We have a good shepherd that restores us. That's good news to be shared, church. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word.
The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.